If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 15 tonight. In chapter 15, which is so amazing, is that here Jesus now, he's not only moving toward Jerusalem, but he's going into the Sea of Galilee, that whole area. It is going to be going up into the area of the Gentiles at this particular time. You can begin by looking here at chapter 15. In verse 1, he says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying." Now, well, the first thing we see here is that the Pharisees and the scribes, they heard about his fame. And when they heard about his fame, they always wanted to entrap him. They wanted people not to believe in Jesus Christ. These were the self-righteous people. Let me read you a couple things about the Pharisees that I found interesting. Number one, the name means separated ones. There was this Jewish sect. They held up to every tradition, not to really the word of God, but to traditions. It says they were not only stuck to the Mosaic law, they were zealous for Judaism. And then the scribes, they were also experts in the legal matters. They were keepers of records, address of state records, collectors of temple revenue, and teaching the law of God. But somehow, you know, even though they were in the Word of God and they taught the Word of God was not working in their lives and through their lives. Think of the church today. How is God working and moving in the life of the church? Not in a building. As we become the temple of the living God, do we become like the Pharisees or the scribes in constantly criticizing? Constantly trying to catch other Christians that maybe are weaker than us to kind of judge them? Or are we really coming to Jesus not because we want to criticize, but we want to be blessed by Jesus? We see the anointing of Jesus in their lives. And think how you came to Christ this evening when somebody brought you, or maybe you're alone and God spoke to your heart. And when I look at this Pharisees and scribes, I not only think as the spiritual fake people or hypocrites, because Jesus will call them hypocrites, that today in the church, we have too many Pharisees that do not love the Word of God, but they love to criticize. They love to set up people and condemn them when we're supposed to be loving and caring for people. People that need Jesus. So important. So Jesus says here, the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, where to the Sea of Galilee. Verse 2, he says, "And why do you disciples transgress the traditions of the elders?" Now look what he says. I don't know if you got it. He says, why do your disciples transgress the Bible? No, the traditions of men. Tradition. The tradition of the elders. Man, it seems that so many churches are caught up with tradition. And tradition has nothing to do with truly worshiping God. Tradition brings it to a place of not knowing God and criticizing people and thinking that you are going to be right on with God when you really are deviating from the truth and you're going in your own way and not in God's way. We have to be careful of tradition. He goes on to say this. He says, "For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Now, this is something they're criticizing. When they would eat, they would wash their hands. And when you go to Israel, you begin to see these Jews that are Orthodox. They take water this way. They wash their hands. And when they lift their hands, the water cannot run down to their elbows. So they take a towel and they cleanse their actual hands and their fingers. Here these people were coming to a place where they were so caught up in the traditions rather than the teaching of the Word of God and following and obeying the Word of God. Look at the church today. All the tradition that we find in the church today. Where so many churches are dying because of tradition. People are hungry for the Word of God. And why are these pastors not studying and giving the Word of God to their people? I say to their little sheep. So they can develop, they can mature. And then we can have holiness in the church. And God can move in my life and through my life to do whatever He wants to do in our lives today. The word that he uses here to wash is used chiefly for washing a part of the body, such as the face, the hands, or the feet, or the washing nest of clothes or even nets, to bathe or wash entire the whole body, or to immerse or put completely under the water, to actually put somebody under the water. We have to be careful of being religious and not having a relationship with God. The two R's, religion and relationship. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you really don't care about tradition. What you care about is, how am I walking in the presence of God? Am I truly connected to the truth? Do I really spend time in the Word and meditation and waiting upon God to speak to my heart individually, so that when God speaks to my heart, I can speak to those that come to me, not about myself, but about Him? Pointing them to Jesus always. And Jesus here is so tired of tradition. Look what he says in verse 3. And then he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition?" He rebukes them. He says, you don't keep the word of God, but you keep tradition. Instead of believing the truth about God's word, he says again, why do you also transgress the commandment, what, the word of God? Because of your tradition. He says, verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. Notice what he's saying here. Here we notice that Jesus is proceeding here to prove the charge against the Jewish leaders. He gives them an example from the Old Testament, from Exodus 20, verse 12 and 17, the Ten Commandments. And one of the Ten Commandments is that we're to honor our father and mother. They were disrespecting their mother and their father, and he says, he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. Can you imagine that? In the Old Testament, if you disrespected your parents, they would kill you. Look at all of the respect today that we have in the church and outside the church in homes, where children do not respect their parents, and parents do not respect their children. It goes two ways. And yet, as Christians, because we study God's word and we know God's word, shouldn't we feel convicted by the word of God and the Holy Spirit that we teach our children the ways of God? What I've learned with children in a home is that if you don't teach them the word of God, they're going to go into their own path. There's a sacrifice that is to be made as parents in investing not only in the kingdom of God, but in the family. In the family. Because surely I want my kids and my grandkids not only to honor their mother and father, but one day they'll have children. And one of these days, as they grow up, we hope, like, you know, today if you have parents that are old, what do? We put them into institution, and then we put them into our people to take care of them. Nothing wrong with that. But when you go into these institutions and you talk to old people, many of them will say, I ask them, has anybody come to see you? And they say, no. Family, no. They've been left alone to be there alone. Sad that this has to happen to so many parents that get old. Maybe there are some that take care of their parents. And yet here we talk about children that are in drugs and alcohol and they're in violence and all these things. Well, the reason many times is because people, the parents, have never taught them in the ways of the Lord. And if they have taught in the way of the Lord, remember, they could always come back. Like the prodigal son. And when they come back broken. Broken. Just like the prodigal son. He went out and actually destroyed his inheritance, wasted it, and then he actually had no more money, so he started working in a pig pen. And then he remembered, man, I have a father that is rich. He says, why don't I go back to him? So when he came back to him, when his father saw him a far away coming back to the home, his father said, hey, prepare a meal, prepare a feast. We're going to have a party because my son that was gone now has come back. The prodigal has come back. And his son said, Father, I deserve for you not to forgive me. I deserve to be just a servant to wait on you. And his father said this. He says, I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. I wonder how many of us have not forgiven our children or husband and wives have not forgiven each other. If there's no forgiveness, there's no blessing from God. You can't get ahead. You cannot go the next step. If you want God to really use you, then stick to the Word of God. Come to a place in your life where you humble yourself before God, even if you're wrong or not wrong, and you go make things right, whoever has not only betrayed you or has come against you, because you want your heart to be clean. You want to be able to sit down and read the Word of God without any hindrances and to know that the Word of God is really speaking to my heart. Really speaking to my heart. Because God commands that in His Word. He says again, and God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. The law was death. Not forgiveness here. And think of all the people today that are hurting, parents that have been hurt by their children. Many parents. And many children have been hurt by their parents. But yet if we have come to know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when I came to know Christ, first thing I did is went to see my dad. I did not know the Bible. But in my heart, I knew that I had to make things right. And when I went to see my dad and I told him that I was sorry, I came to a place not only where I felt good, but he kind of stared at me. But over a period of time, he began to see that I was truly a Christian, that I had been born again of the Holy Spirit. And through that, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sisters, they all came to know the Lord. My brother-in-law, all these people came to know the Lord, not because of me, because of the Holy Spirit ministering to them through the love of Christ. If you want people to get saved, you better get right with God. Forgiveness, not unforgiveness. And when I read that scripture, that's not speaking about forgiveness here, but it was deeply in my heart just to share this with you because of the counseling that I get every single week, where they start blaming other people instead of taking the fault. They want other people to be guilty and not themselves. And yet look what God has done in your lives. So much. And He continues to do so much in our lives. Because according to the law, no matter who you were, if you were an adulterer, they would stone you to death. You could not be an adulterer. If you were a fornicator, they would stone you to death. If you were a homosexual, they would stone you to death. If you were a lesbian, they'd stone you to death. And look at the liberalism that we have today, the lie of Satan. The lie of Satan. In the church and outside of the church, many young people are being deceived by the lie. By the lie. And should we come against them? Of course, that we pray for them. We love them into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we need to do because we're imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that. Look what he says in verse 5. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, it is a gift to God. Now, in Mark's gospel, he uses the word korban. It's a gift, a thing consecrated to God. The son or the daughter would take care of their parents when they were old. It's like I told you before. Because we're to honor our mother and father. Look what he says in verse 6. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. Again, tradition, tradition, tradition. The commandment of God is the Word of God. Don't let the Word of God void. Let the Word of God convict you. Let the Word of God feed you. Let the Word of God work in your life and through your life so that people can see that you're truly a child of the light. A child of the light. You know what he says to them next? Hypocrites. Hypocrites. There were a bunch of actors. Among the Greeks, if you were going to entertain people on a stage, they would have a box of all kinds of little masks. And if you wanted to be an angry person, you would put a mask with an angry face. And if you wanted to smile, you'd get another mask and put a smiley face. And behind that mask was the hypocrite, a man of many faces. We need to be careful not to be hypocrites. God not only saw that the Pharisees and the scribes were a bunch of hypocrites. And Jesus was trying not only to minister them, but they did not want to hear the word of God. He goes now to the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. He says this. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying 750 years before. He says in Isaiah 29:13, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I want you to mark that scripture. Because look what he says again here. This is true today in the church and outside of the church. And he says, because nobody can really understand unless you're in that place of hypocrisy. That you can have the right attitude but have the wrong actions in your life. Right attitude but wrong actions. He says, these people are drawing near to me with their mouth, praising God and thanking God and doing all these wonderful things. And they honor me with their lips, lip service. But their heart is far from me. Their hearts are not knitted to me. He says, and in vain they worship me. Their worship, it's of no value. Empty worship. I would pray that God tonight would speak to our hearts about worshiping God in the spirit and in truth. That my worship, that your worship would not be in vain, but that it would be profitable. And by being profitable is because I have a sincere heart and a true heart that not only loves God, but loves people. That when I come in the presence of God, I don't want to just come and give lip service. But I want to be able that when I open my mouth, it is my heart pouring out to Jesus all of my needs. All of the things that I need in my life. Confessing, repenting of anything that I use my mouth to offend or to put down. So that I will have clean lips, but most important, a clean heart. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts. He knows our hearts. We can't fool God. And I hope that we can learn that tonight. He says, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Notice what he says here. They're teaching the commandments of men, not the doctrines of God. It was in vain what they were doing. Their hearts were not connected to God. Their hearts were not right before God. Everything they did was empty things and vain things. And this is why today I feel that the church today, that the church not only has become infected, self-centered, not God-centered. And how I love and thank you so much for being here to study the Word of God. So you can develop, you can grow, and you can take that Word of God into your hearts. And as the Word of God burns in your hearts, people will be able to see that and you can share that fire with them to their hearts. I think that's really important. They were teaching the precepts and the commandments of men rather than the precepts and the commandments of God. We have to be careful of the precepts of men. Religion does that. The precepts of God is His Word. The Word of God will never come back void. There's always result, there's always fruit that comes back in the kingdom of God. And then after speaking to these leaders, He now turns to the people, he says, verse 10, and when he had called the multitude to himself, he says to them, hear and understand. He calls them, notice, to their complete undivided attention. I want you to pay attention. I don't want you looking around. I don't want you talking to one another, but I want you to listen to what I am going to say to you. Verse 11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man. In the Greek, it means making common, profane, unclean, defiles, or polluted, he says. But what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. And what does that mean? Out of the mouth is the heart. Your heart is revealed. What's coming out of your mouth tonight? What's going to come out of your mouth tomorrow? What came out of your mouth yesterday? I think that before we speak, we need to keep quiet and we need to think. How many times you've said something that you want to take back, but it's too late? You already said it. And so many people, when we say that, they get hurt. It is very hard when you hurt someone as not only wanting to come back and have fellowship with them, that is very hard because they've been used. They've been hurt. And I've had times in my life that I guess I offended someone and God spoke to my heart. And what I did is I went to that person and I had to say, if I have ever offended you in any way, please forgive me. And you know what's happened? It's united us. Unite us in the Lord. Unite us as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And maybe tonight you're here with unforgiveness in your heart. In your heart. And you're expecting God to speak to your heart. If Jesus forgave us, why can't we forgive other people? Why can't we examine our hearts? And as we look at our hearts, is there anything there that is defiling my life? Are there things in my life, in my heart, that are keeping me away from God, that will not allow me to be close to the heart of God, to hear the beating heart of Jesus, so that when I do something for Jesus, it's going to be the right thing that I do, not to offend, but to love people. Even as Christ loves us. And then Jesus here speaking to these Pharisees and scribes. Never ever did he say anything to them to offend them. They're the ones that were offending Jesus. You know what Jesus did? He forgave them. He forgave them. And then Jesus forgave these people that were coming against him. Because it says in verse 12, then his disciples came and said to him, do you know what the Pharisees were offended when they heard your sayings? Jesus, do you know what happened? When they heard what you were saying, they were offended. Did you mean to offend them? He says in verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. He says, let them alone. Now, here Jesus, which is really interesting, after verse 13 when he says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. He says, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. Hey, don't deal with them. They're blind. They can't see what you see. You have a personal relationship with God. They have a personal relationship with religion. Tradition instead of really truly the word of God. And then he says this, and if the blind leads the blind, they're both going to fall into a ditch. Spiritual blindness. I would pray that each one of us individually would never come to that place of spiritual blindness, but that our eyes would always be not only watching and seeing, but most important, looking to Jesus as my author and finisher of my great faith. And when Jesus said, leave them alone, in his heart, he knew they were self-righteous. He knew because he was God that one day they would betray him and they would crucify him. But all the way through the scriptures, he loves them and he loves them and he loves them. He never ever comes against them. Yes, he rebukes them, but he never ever comes against them, because he goes on to say, verse 15, and then good old Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us, Jesus. And so Jesus said, are you also still without understanding, Peter? He kind of rebukes him a little bit here. Peter was always opening his mouth when he should not say anything. Lord, he says, are you also still without understanding? Jesus says to him. And then he says this. Notice. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Peter, do you get it? Now, Peter, listen to me carefully. But those things which proceed of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Write that down or underline it. The problem is the heart. The words that come out of my heart, the putting down of people, cursing people, saying things that will hurt people and not only hurt them, but will bring them to a place of not only feeling sorry for themselves, but a place where they get so hurt that they don't have anything to say to you any longer. We need to be careful with our words. Within our hearts is the problem. Remember in the days of Noah, the people's hearts were so ugly and so hard. That God said to Noah, 120 years, and then the end will come. And when God's judgment came because of the condition of the heart of the people in that time, they all perished except for eight people. Eight people, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And God today probably speaking to this generation that the problem that we have is because of the things that we see on television or movies. The kind of music we listen to, the things that we go online and watch, and then telephones and all these things that not only take away time with God, but that we not only would get convicted, and through that conviction, that we fully commit my life to Jesus Christ and allow all the time that I spend in my computer or on the phone, giving that time to Jesus, spending time with Him. So that my heart is right before the Lord. Because what I want coming out of my mouth are things that build up people, not tear down people. Not tearing down people, but building people. Building up people because we love them. And then he says again in verse 19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Here comes murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with the washed hands does not defile a man. You see, it's not about washing of hands, tradition. It's about your heart. True Christianity. It's not about religion, but is my heart right before the Lord? Have I truly given my heart to Jesus Christ? So that I've cleansed my life by His blood. And as I give my life to Him and He cleanses and washes my life, then as a child of God or woman of God, then I can be used to bring glory and honor to His name through my heart with His lips. And say, Lord, I praise You, I worship You, and I honor Your life. Because we honor Him. He's the one that called us, He's the one that saved us, and He's the one that will resurrect us. So that we can spend eternity with Him because of His love and because of His forgiveness. And then in verse 21 he says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He's speaking to the Jew, now he goes to the Gentile. He goes to the Gentile, notice cities, to preach. He says up by Lebanon there. He says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to Him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now here comes this woman, which is not a Jew. And her daughter has been demon-possessed. And this woman not only is hurting deeply because of her daughter, but you notice what she said there? Have mercy on me. Mercy. She wasn't even a Christian. She didn't even know the Lord. It's something that she saw in Jesus. Maybe she heard about Jesus, what He'd been doing, healing the sick, pouring out His love to people. He said, O Lord, notice he uses the word, O Lord, Kurios, Son of David, the promised Messiah to come. He says, but he answered her not a word. Didn't say nothing. You know, something caught my eye here about being silent. When we pray sometimes, are we quiet or do we always have to speak? Do we always have to speak or is there a time that I need to be silent? I think that it's important that when we spend time with the Lord, maybe not talk, but spend time just listening, being still. He says in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I love my times with the Lord when I don't have to say nothing, but just sit there and wait and listen to the Holy Spirit, to allow Him to speak to my heart personally. In the areas of my life that maybe I'm defiling the Word of God, or coming to a place where maybe I offended the Lord, or maybe even grieved the Holy Spirit of God because of my sin. This woman was a sinner. And Jesus was not playing hardcore ball with her. What He was doing is wanting to see her heart. He was quiet, didn't say anything. Look what He says. And His disciples came and they urged Him, saying, hey, send her away, for she cries out after us. Literally, they said this. What they were saying is, Lord, get rid of this woman, but before she leaves, take care of her needs. And then send her away. The disciples were always sending people away. And Jesus was always bringing people to Himself. Verse 24. But He answered and says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I wasn't sent yet to the Gentiles. I was sent to the house of Israel. And when you think of the house of Israel, think how many opportunities Israel not only had and has had in the past to the present. And when Israel rejected the Lord, then the Lord gave the opportunity to the Gentiles, you and I, to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. But one day, the Jew will open his heart, his eyes will be open, his ears will be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. And they'll be able to have communion with Jesus, and Jesus have communion with them. He says in verse 24, but He answered and said to them, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped Him. Now notice how beautiful this is. She came and worshiped Him. A place not only of brokenness, a place of humility in her life, a place where you're broken by the Lord, that when you come, that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Holding on to Him. And maybe tonight you're here and maybe you have a problem in your life. You're sick. And Jesus hasn't healed you. Whatever your infirmity is, remember this. He will heal you according to His will, not according to your will or my will. So many times people get bitter with God because He hasn't healed them. But I know one thing, that my infirmities, you know, the things that I go through, make me stronger in the Lord, and it makes me trust in Him more than trusting in myself. I like that. Trusting in God instead of myself. And if you begin to trust in Him, I guarantee you, in your weakness, you'll become strong because of Him. And because of Him, His love will be poured out to you. And when His love is poured out to you, He will not only love you, but He will make you that kind of person that He wants you to be. Not what you want to be, but what He wants you to be. He says in verse 25, then she came and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, Kurios, notice this, help me. Lord, help me. Brokenness before the Lord. But He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. The little dogs are house puppies that you would have in your home. But here is in reference to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were unclean and vile. In order, she answered and said, yes, Lord, I agree. Yet even the little dogs eat crumbs which fall from their master's table. Notice her faith and intelligence here and humility. She knows exactly what to say to Jesus. And then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, check this out, great is your faith. Great is your faith." Maybe you're here tonight and you're a man or woman of little faith, like the disciples. Men, we need to come to that place where we have great faith in Jesus Christ. That's the key. He says, "A woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." You wanted me to answer your prayer? I am answering your prayer. Why? Because of your faith. You have great faith. And watch this. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. From that very hour, Jesus healed her. And tonight, you're here. And I believe with all my heart that this very hour, as we're studying the Word of God, that if you reach out to Jesus according to His will, that before you leave here tonight, He'll touch you. He will touch your life. And the reason He'll touch your life is because of His love and His grace and His mercy that He has for each one of us individually. Maybe He might not heal you. When I'm saying that, maybe you're blind or maybe your heart, whatever your power, cancer, whatever it is, it's according to His will that He heals. But He will heal your heart to know Him more intimately, to love Him and to love people, and to come to a place of full submission to Him. Full submission to Him to say, "Lord, whatever Your will may be, Lord, I want Your will in my life." And you know what? He'll do it. He'll do it because He loves you so much. And then He says in verse 29, "And then Jesus departed from there and skirted the Sea of Galilee and went up to a mountain and He sat down there." Remember, a lot of times He would go up to a mountain to pray. He's going up to this mountain and says, "And the great multitude came to Jesus, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, many others. And He laid them down at Jesus' feet and He healed them." The weak, the sick came to Jesus. And what did He do? He healed them. If this is not the area of the Jews, this was an area of Gentiles. Around the Sea of Galilee, there was called the Decapolis. There were probably about 15 cities with a population of probably 15,000 people in each city. A lot of people around the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus going and ministering around the Sea of Galilee. Imagine all the needs that He came not only to take care of, but to encounter, and people coming to Him every single day. And yet His heart and His ministry was to do what? To give Himself to people. Never too busy, never turning people away, but always receiving people and helping people. Because He says the great multitude came again to Him, having with them all the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at the feet of Jesus, at His feet, and He healed them. And so the multitudes marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified God of Israel. Notice who gets the glory? Jesus. They glorified the God of Israel. Never, never give glory to any person that is doing miracles and wonders. But you give the glory and the honor to Jesus Christ. He's the healer. He never brought attention to Himself. He always, "Father, if this is Your will." And yet today we see on television so many of these people, they call themselves healers, always bringing attention to themselves and always taking money from people, fleecing the flock. Always fleecing the flock of God. And there have been many in the past, you know, that I would tell you some things that would totally would blow you away. I'll tell you one of them. There's one of the evangelists, he's still alive today. And he would come to the place where he's going to have a healing service. And what he would do at the entrance of the place, they would have people, they would say, "You're here today, what is your problem?" And he would tell you your problem. And then the person that was meeting them, they would actually have a little microphone and they would tell this guy behind the stage the problem. So when he got up to minister, he would say, "There's somebody here that has this or has that." Think about that. Think what the Holy Spirit probably was grieved fully and completely. God really was healing, but this person was fleecing the flock of God. And these people were coming all sincerity, coming to receive. And you say, well, did God touch their lives? You bet he touches their lives. And they would have sometimes people on wheelchairs that were not crippled. And he would go and pray for them, and they would get up out of the wheelchair, and they would run back and forth and say, I've been healed, when it was a setup. May God help us to have discernment and to pray for these people that they would repent and they would return to their first love, or maybe they don't even know Jesus Christ and their love is money, the power of money in their lives. But when Jesus healed, in humility and because he loved the people, he never ever fleeced the people. He always gave to the people, and the people received. That's why when we take an offering, we don't take, we receive an offering. We don't take anything from anybody. We receive as God tells your heart to give. And yet, so many people deceived by the lie rather than the truth. He goes on to say in verse 32, and now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion. There is again, I have compassion on the multitudes, because they have not continued with me for 3 days, and I had nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Notice the concern of compassion for the people. Jesus was always compassionate. I don't want anybody leaving here and passing out because they haven't had a meal. They've been here 3 days with us. And then his disciples said to him, notice their faith, where can we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? They just saw a miracle of 4,000, others 5,000, and they're still doubting. And Jesus said to them, and by the way, here, not only does it apply to each one of us, when you have a need, don't forget in the past that Jesus met your needs. If he did it in the past, he'll do it in the present. Verse 34. And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7, the number of perfection, and few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. Jesus was a God of order. He set them down in order. And then he took the 7 loaves of bread and the fish. He gave thanks. Notice that we pray for our meals. Broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they were not and delivered, and they gave to the multitude. And I love this scripture, verse 37. And so they all ate and were filled. That word filled in the Greek means they were glutted. They were kind of laying home at so much food we've had. They had more than they ever wanted to have. And they took up 7 large baskets. He started with 7, he ends with 7. Listen, full of fragments that were left. And now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. The impossible made possible with Jesus. He's the only one that can ever do that. Maybe you came tonight here asking the Lord for something that you need in your life. Whatever it is. Is it going to bring glory to Jesus? Or is it going to bring glory to you? Why are you praying for that thing? Is it going to lift up the name of Jesus? Is it going to be beneficial for Jesus? Or is it going to destroy you? Or is it going to honor the Lord? I would pray this evening that it would honor God and it would not destroy you. He says this, he sent them away in multitude. He says he got into a boat and he came to the region of Magdala, which is on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I want to ask you tonight another question. If tonight was your last night, would you have the assurance of going to heaven? For a fact, you know that. Do you have peace in your life? Do you really know Jesus Christ intimately as your Lord and your Savior? Because we really don't know when that time will come. Many times we're a young person, yet when we were young, we never thought about dying. And yet young people die. But as you get older, there's a lot we can see this way, but there's not enough to see this way. Every single day we walk by faith. And maybe tonight you're here, and God brought you to that place where he's preparing your life not only to know him, but preparing you maybe to take you home. Maybe preparing to take you home. Are you ready to meet Jesus? God just put that in my heart. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Have you experienced the love of Christ? Is the love of Jesus Christ in your life? Because if the love of Christ is in your life, then you can share with others the love of Christ. Not misjudging people, not coming to a place where you're hating people, but to look at the love of Jesus Christ, not only in his heart, but your heart. Father, I pray in your name, Jesus. Lord, tonight here as we are studying the gospel of Matthew, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would speak, that your Holy Spirit would do a tremendous work in us and through our lives, Jesus. Lord, how I thank you for the young. I thank you also for the old, Father. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit in this church would move tremendously, Lord God. Father, how I thank you for these men and women and young people, Lord God, that come to hear your word. Lord, that you would bless them, that you prepare them for the future, Lord God. So, Lord, that as we're taken, if you don't come at the rapture, Lord, and you come to take us home, that they would continue the work. They would continue, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and that they would give you all the glory and all the honor. And Father, that they would reach not only their generation, but generations to come. And so, Lord, we ask you that your Holy Spirit continue to move, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor for being our King and our Lord and Master. And Lord, we ask you now that as we leave here, that you continue to help us to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray these things. And everyone said, amen. Let's sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. God bless you guys.